Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered her and said, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but only one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Now, it is a privilege to sit at the feet of Christ, and in that day and time, it was a privileged place there at the feet of the rabbi that was given to the most well-beloved student, and Mary took this place, and Christ accepted her in that place. Furthermore, he protected her in that place, and he would not allow that place to be taken from her. And yet, not only is that place at the feet of Christ, learning of him, a privilege, but it's also an appointment. It's a place that we have to be as Christian women. We do not sit at any other person's feet. The Bible tells us, call no man father. That means we do not set any person up as our spiritual teacher in that ultimate sense, except Jesus Christ. In a single passage, then, you eliminate any sense of total loyalty to a pastor. That is unbiblical. But also you eliminate the idea that many fundamentalists push, that there's this thing called spiritual headship, and that the husband is actually fulfilling some sort of Holy Spirit role for the wife, where he gives her her privileges with God or her privileges in Christ. He does not, and the Bible never says that he does. In fact, and we'll talk about this later this week, the passage that talks about the man being the head of the woman is actually a passage about appearances. It's really not about authority in the sense that many people try to make it about authority, but we'll talk about that later in the week. But for this passage, Mary sits at the feet of Christ. He does not permit anybody to eject her from that place. And it is also true, we do not sit at any other person's feet but the feet of Christ. Being at his feet is a place of direct communion with Christ, which Christ places higher than social norms or the rules of customs. Here's another passage. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears and wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors, the one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. We also see from this account in Luke that whoever reaches the feet of Christ and is accepted of him is given that acceptance without regard to others, no matter what their role may be. Christ alone has the authority to forgive sins, and because of this, he alone is to be appealed to as the source of righteousness, and no human being has the right to prevent or hinder another human being from coming to Christ for rescue, solace, forgiveness, grace, mercy, and fellowship. No, woman, you are not in some mystic relationship called headship in which these things are communicated to you through your husband. That is idolatry. Only Christ has the place at his feet to give sinners what they need. Granted, in public worship, a patriarchy is in place, but that is as far as the scripture takes it. The Christian husband has a responsibility to provide a Christian education for his wife and family, as Paul teaches in 1 Corinthians 14, but the husband is not the source of the wife's spiritual life, and neither is the wife the spiritual sustenance of the husband. Both are dependent upon Christ, and both are called upon to help each other to Christ, but Christ is the substance and the foundation of each individual person's relationship with God. Christ alone is our righteousness. Christ alone is our acceptance.